Hello, friends. Welcome to our weekly show, Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV. I am in New Mexico today as we continue our incandescent road trip. More details about that to come. But we're thrilled to introduce you to Lynn Evans, CFP, founder of Women of Substance. Today's topic, the issues baby boomer women face when confronted with widowhood, gray divorce, and retirement. Before I throw it over to Rita to do the interview that starts off your weekend with 15 minutes of tips to help women everywhere become more financially savvy, I want to tell you a little about Lynn. She founded Women of Substance after the successful sale of her primary business to her senior financial advisor because she saw a gap in the knowledge base of women her own age. Lynn's book, Power of the Purse, Fear-Free Finances for Baby Boomer Women, has won accolades, and it is also the title of her weekly show, Power of the Purse. So we're going to learn all about Lynn today. Over to you, Rita.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much, Lynn, for being here with us. From one female CFP pro to another, I'm so glad you're here. So let's just jump in.
Okay.
So tell us about the origin of Women of Substance.
It's really funny how that came about. It was never intended, but I have to say that I have to give credit where credit is due for the name. Many years ago, when I think I was in my 30s, there was a program on BBC, and it was all about a woman who grew up in a very poor part of England, and she was the daughter of a woman and a man who were butlers and whatever in a very large home, a manor, I guess they would call it. And she was not treated too well by the people who lived there. And so she vowed that she was going to make all kinds of money and be in a position where she could do something to retaliate for some of the terrible things that were done to her. The name of the book was called Woman of Substance. And when I saw that and read the book, I just said, it just struck something in me. And I just said, wow, this is so impressive. And it's such an important role model for young women that she went through so many difficult things, including the death of a husband, the divorce of her second husband, bankruptcy, all kinds, whatever you can imagine was thrown in front of her. Not only did she survive, but she thrived. And so I said, that's what I'm going to call the publishing company that I'm going to create for the book. So the book was titled Power of the Purse, Fear-Free Finances for Baby Boomer Women. And when I came up with the name for the publishing company, I thought, well, of course, I should name it Woman of Substance Publishing LLC. And so that's what it was. And I self-published the book. And then I got to the point where after having had this typical business, very similar to yours, Rita, where I had staff and I had a certain number of clients, I just thought that it was about time for me to move on to do other things. And so the man who had been my number one employee was in a position where he said, I really would like to buy this business from you. And I said, okay. So we did. We structured the whole thing. And I took 15 households from that original business, most of whom were women. And they were all women close to my age. And so I said, well, what's the most obvious name for the business? And it's Women of Substance. Because they were. So I said, that's it. Women of Substance LLC. And that's been now 5 years ago that I started this and it has grown. I didn't even try to make it grow. It just has grown. And it's now about 25 clients. And I'm really happy with the size of it. And I'd like it to get bigger.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. So that is just truly amazing how well Woman of Substance has been received.
Yes.
So at first I was wondering, okay, is it Power of the Purse that came first or Woman of Substance that came first, but you gave birth to them at the same time?
Yes. Yeah. And Power of the Purse, that's a really interesting story how that developed. That was at least 10 years ago. I was working with a business coach who was always pushing me to do things that were well outside of my comfort zone. And she said to me, Lynn, you've had a lot of experience working with women. I think you should write a book. And I said, you got to be kidding me. What can I say that could be in a book? And she said, you have a lot to say because you probably don't remember a lot of the things that you think were that impressive. But a lot of these women probably felt very strongly that what you did for them made a huge difference in their lives. And so you need to capture that. I said, well, where would I even start? She said, I want you to go back and think of 10 to 12 women that you have worked with that you're really close to, where you made a difference. And just write down a short paragraph or two about their stories. What happened? Why did they come to you? And how do they feel? I said, okay. So then with my permission, she interviewed each one of those 10 to 12 women and asked them to come up with some words that would describe the relationship. And she found most of the words in common and said to me, this is what you need to talk about in your book. So I devised 10 different topics and make them the table of contents. And I wrote every Monday afternoon for a year. There it is. For a year, I wrote about an hour and a half every Monday afternoon. And I would just go back and reread what I read and add more. I kept doing that. It took me a good 2 years to write the book. And so after it was done, it was professionally edited. And I called that publishing company, Woman of Substance Publishing. And then lo and behold, there was a day, I think it was in August of, no, couldn't have been. It was in December of 2014 that I got a package in the mail. And in there was my book. And it was the most bizarre feeling. It was as though I had given birth to something. And here it was. This is just phenomenal. It was such a great feeling. And it was so well received by so many people. I just had such a good time with it. So I think it's time for an update.
I was just going to ask you, what's the next book? And anybody who knows me knows that I love supporting women. I love supporting women business owners, and I love to read. And so therefore, of course, I am going to support women authors. And I had the benefit of reading your book, and it's amazing.
Good. Thank you.
So here it is, The Power of the Purse.
Yes.
And I love how it's a red purse.
Yes. Yes. I said, for sure, that'll get everybody's attention. And you can't believe how many purses I looked at before I picked the one that's on the cover.
That's too funny, right?
It is funny.
You had to vet the purses.
But it was great. It is great.
So I wanted to ask you, I know that The Power of the Purse, fear-free finances for baby boomer women. What in your mind are some of the mistakes? I know we could have a whole show about this, but that boomer women make. And we can even say their spouses and partners make with their finances.
Yeah. And you and I could probably come up with 100 different stories, what we've seen. But I think the common thread is that baby boomer women are still part of a generation where they were taught to rely on their husbands or their fathers or someone, some male person in their lives to manage that. And that it really wasn't anything they had to be worried about because somebody else would take care of that. But where that broke down is when women started working outside the home and they had to participate in 401k plans. Their mothers probably didn't have that and didn't really know unless they were teachers. If they were teachers, they were part of some system like that. But for the most part, in non-public domains where it was private business, and they didn't have pension plans or profit sharing plans or any retirement plans. But now we had a world where we had to make choices. So it wasn't just the fact that you could figure out how much do I put aside, but then the bigger question was, what are you going to invest it in? And for so many women, who had absolutely no knowledge whatsoever of investments. They always opted for the so-called safe investments. And as you know, we can go back and take a look at the difference between a man who may have invested in a more aggressive type fund versus the woman who chose the protective and guaranteed returns. They left millions of dollars on the table because they just didn't understand. So that's a huge mistake that a lot of women make. They opt for safety and security because that's part of our DNA, I think. But at the same time, they don't understand what they're missing. So that's the second thing, I think, is that they just don't have any knowledge of anything that has to do with money. And so they lose money by default. And I think the third mistake they make is that they opt to take a more passive role if they're in an environment where there is competition. They generally think that, oh, I can't do this, or I don't have the skill set to do this, so I'm not going to put myself up there for a promotion. And so they don't get promoted, or they don't ask for raises. They never do. They just assume that their employer is going to see how wonderful they are and give them something. So their negotiation skills are very poor, probably non-existent. So those are three of the biggies that I see all the time. But I also think the mistakes that men make, very similar to those. But I think men gravitate more towards wanting to look good to other men. So they tend to jump into the crazy deals that they think are going to make them millions of dollars, and they don't. But they're too embarrassed to admit it. But if they don't have to say anything to their wives or partners, then they're probably okay. So those are some of the mistakes I see.
No, thank you. And I'm going to hold this up again because this is a copy from Amazon, not the actual book, but The Power of the Purse, the Red Purse. So there you are. So Lynn, I have heard that sometimes women just say they're not interested in finance. If you don't mind, I know you shared some of the mistakes, but what are some myths and misconceptions about boomer women and finances?
I think that a lot of people assume that women know nothing about finances, or as you said, that they're not interested, when in fact, there are just a significantly greater number of baby boomer women who are divorced after, which we talked about, the gray divorce, where they're well after 25 years of marriage. Whether they initiate it or their husbands initiate it, they say, I'm done and I'm not going to continue in this relationship. Well, okay, but now what do you do with the money? How do you separate it? How do you stand up for yourself and make sure that you get the things that you need? And again, women will defer to their attorneys and say, you just handle it for me. Sometimes it's not always the best approach, but there are, as far as the myths and misconceptions, I think because more women are single or never were married, whether it's by choice or circumstances, they are now being forced to have to make decisions. And we as a generation are also the largest consumers that are out there. We are the ones who buy things. So if we can buy something on sale at Saks, we could also buy something on sale in the stock market if we understood what that means.
I love that. I love it. If we're excited about the Nordstrom anniversary sale, then we should be excited that there's a 20% discount on high quality stocks.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so if I know we could like have a whole weekly series on this, but most importantly, if you could just give people one or two pearls of wisdom, what would you tell people?
Well, I think I would tell, especially women, baby boomer women, I will tell them that dealing with personal finances at a moment when it is the most depressing or difficult in your life is not the way to do it. So when you're sitting in the attorney's office and your husband has just passed away, that is not the time to learn, nor is it the time to learn when you're getting divorce papers. You really need to understand the basics of finance. And that book was written in a tone, in a voice that was designed to help women who start from no knowledge to understand the very basic things about personal finance so that you at least have a working knowledge of some of the language. What does it mean? How do you know what the difference is between a 401k and a 403b, or some of these things that we toss around like it's just a second language to us? But to people who have never heard this, it's so intimidating. And I think the book is really designed to help women at least get a level of comfort around the language of finance, to be able to not be conned into things that they didn't understand. So that to me is the most important thing. And oh, by the way, men can read it too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they can learn. And they can do it for 15 seconds or so, you know, when nobody's looking. Nobody has to see the cover of the book when you're reading it.
It's true. It says fear-free finances for baby boomer women, but it could be baby boomer men as well.
Exactly.
Well, Lynn, how can people find you?
I think the easiest way to find me, I have two websites, but I would say the one that is probably the one most relevant to people looking for information would be the one that's lynnsevans.com. That S stands for Susan. That's my middle name. So lynnsevans.com. And that's where you can also buy the book and you can see some of the upcoming things I'm doing. And I would say I'm going to roll this out so that everybody hears it and it forces me to commit to doing it, that I want to have a course that's available by the end of July.
Well, awesome. We're definitely looking forward to the course because I know how important it is to make personal finance accessible. Someone once said is we shouldn't be an expert in serving divorcees or serving widows. We just need to make sure that we are proactive and ahead of the curve and helping women learn in anticipation or in preparation for these events. Because while no one prepares for these things, or I should say, while no one plans for these things, it's important to be prepared for these life events.
Yes. And the older we get, Rita, the more probable we will have to deal with some of these things.
So well said. Mm-hmm. And so Hope, back to you.
Well, ladies, this is amazing. Lynn, we're so excited to have you on the show today, of course, and we look forward to much more conversations with you because, you know, power of the purse, of course it is. It's, you know, and here we are at Margaritas with Margarita, honoring women, supporting them, encouraging them, and standing together with our arms locked because none of us can do it alone. So thank you both. Yeah. So all the information, all the contacts, all the links to your websites and your book are on the liner notes on margaritacheng.com, margaritacheng.tv, and margaritachengradio.com. So we're thrilled to share your message with you, with our audience and women everywhere. So thank you, ladies. Fantastic.
Thank 15 you.
Minutes on a Friday. What better way to start the weekend than with, you know, marbles in a margarita glass.
You did it, Lynn.
I love it.
Yay. Thank you, ladies. We'll see you all
soon. Thanks.